Well, good evening tonight. Trust everybody here this evening is feeling blessed of the Lord. We are truly a blessed people.
Yes.
To be able to assemble here this evening and enjoy the partakers of the mercy of God.
Yes.
Everyone here today would be lost. Our lives would be so much different. If it were not for the great sacrifice of Jesus,
yes, amen.
Who looked down and saw a people that were in great need and had nothing to offer for their own redemption. And so he raised his hand and he said, I'll go. I'll be willing to be the sacrifice that's needed to pay the price. And because of that, tonight, we have such a wonderful hope,
yes,
of eternal life,
yes, thank God,
because of Jesus. And I'm so grateful for that tonight. I'm thankful tonight that he's given us another opportunity to make our calling and election sure.
Yes,
I was thinking of this man that Brother Bob has talked about, whose life on a day that probably, no doubt, seemed like every other day. Went to work. I don't know what his age was. But he didn't go home. Went out into eternity to face an almighty God with no more opportunity to make right anything in his life that might be wrong before God. Serious business. And you know, this evening, we don't know who is next in line.
Right.
It is really easy for us sometimes to look around and kind of think that we know kind of the order, if you will, that folks might go. And a lot of times we start with the old and the sick. And we put the young at the end of the line. But you know, there's no guarantees of that. And every single day there are people, young, healthy individuals that go out into eternity to meet the Lord that never had a thought the day that they got up that they were going to meet God that day. With eternity out ahead, it's serious business. And this evening I want to make sure that I make my calling and election sure, don't you? I'd like to read a scripture out of the 24th chapter of Matthew. I want to read two verses, the 12th and the 13th verse. This is a subject that lies close to my heart, and I desire your prayers tonight, your attention. I ask that the Holy Spirit would bless the service, that the service would not be just because it's the second night and we're going to do time and, you know, stay another few minutes here and go home, and we done two services, one more to go, and we did our revival. We need more than that, folks. We need to get in touch with God. It's serious business tonight. Our souls are at stake. Eternity is ahead. We are rushing towards the judgment. Our name will be called, and we want to be ready. And God wants us to be ready. He's done so much for us. Let's take advantage of it. The scripture says in the 12th verse of the 24th chapter, Jesus said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm inspired tonight to challenge the heat and strength of our spiritual fire. And I've written on the board behind me, how hot is your fire? Because it's personal. Mm-hmm. This is a personal message. This isn't about how hot do you think your neighbor's fire is. This isn't about where you think your spouse needs to move up, or your children, or those that you think ought to know better. But tonight, how is your fire? How are you doing? What is the strength of your spiritual fire before God tonight? Because that's who we're going to have to answer for, is ourselves. I remember as a teenager, a child even, I remember times being at camp meeting, Monarch, maybe other places. And have you ever noticed sometimes there seem to be people that have something you don't? Have you ever noticed that? Or maybe I'm the only one that's felt that way. But I remember sometimes seeing folks that seemed to really get a hold of something. And I'm not saying they didn't. But it seemed like they had a fire that I didn't feel like I had. They were vocal and quick to testify and very visible, it seemed like, in the meeting time. And I would look at that as a young person and sometimes question where I was and wonder, well, they got a hold of something that I don't have. But then, sadly, next year would come around and you look around and that person wasn't there. And you say, well, where's so-and-so? You know, that they were here last year. Where are they not coming this year? Well, we're not sure where they are. Seems like maybe they lost their interest. Sometimes people get a spark, a flash that lacks depth. And they don't nurture it. It's kind of like the parable that Jesus brought of the parable of the sower. And he said that, you remember the seed that was sown on the rocky ground? And it said it sprung up quickly and it looked really good. It looked like we really got something going here. But then just as quickly it was choked out because with cares and whatever else, because it didn't have any depth. There was no root. I want to have depth to my spiritual life. When the Lord calls my name, whether it's at the end of camp meeting when I felt like I got a hold of something and I was on fire, or whether it's a year later, or whether it's 2 years later, or whether it's 20 years down the road, when I hear my name called, I want to have a hold of something that I've invested in my spiritual life, and that I haven't invested in so many of the things that are temporal, ideas that are going to pass away, worldly ideas and thoughts and endeavors and things to spend our time on that aren't going to hold any water at the judgment. Right. I want to have something, a hold of something when the Lord calls my name and I stand before God, that Jesus will be standing beside me holding my hand saying, this one of mine. This right here is one of mine. This one right here has invested in me. They've made me their lives. Don't you want that tonight? I want to look at these verses for just a little while. I noticed that this verse, it says, because iniquity, listen to the words, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I noticed that it didn't say, because the iniquity of many shall abound, that the love of many shall wax cold. That's not what it said. It didn't say, because the iniquity of many shall abound. Now, the iniquity of many is abounding. But that's not what the verse said. The verse just said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think tonight that there's a lesson and a warning to take from this. The iniquity in the world is abounding to the point that there are voices and influences and powers that are being spread with of immorality, and I want to say the absence of spirituality in God, coupled with many different types of avenues and opportunities and devices to connect the multitudes, the many, to iniquity, to immorality, to things that are absent spirituality. And I believe that it is having the effect on the multitudes of distracting people from what they otherwise might give their hearts to. And it's pulling us and grabbing a hold of our hearts and our minds and our attention to the point that it's distracting and capturing otherwise good people.
Yes, it is.
That love the Lord.
Yes, it is.
That want to serve the Lord. And sometimes it gets us almost unawares because iniquity is crowding our space. The absence of spirituality, things that are absent spirituality, we could call them nonsensical things even, but we have access to so much, so quick, and it appeals to our flesh. We carry them around with us most of the time. That's one avenue. There's a lot of others. My message isn't on phones. I have two of them. Iniquity is crowding our space. Have you ever had your space crowded? Have you ever been talking to somebody and they just keep on walking closer and closer to you? And you step back and they step back. You know, when somebody steps back, just stay where you are. Hold your ground. They probably step back for a reason. It's because they have a personal space. And people have a personal space that they're comfortable with. And when you invade people's space, it causes discomfort. And so, sometimes people step back. It's not that they don't like you. It's not that they're hurt. It may be for a number of reasons, but just hold your ground. And keep talking. Give them some space. Some cultures have less space than our culture. And they're comfortable talking like this. I'm not comfortable talking like this. Just so you know, that's not where my comfort level is. But in some cultures, that there's a comfort level there. Iniquity is endeavoring. There's a spirit in the world. Don't ever think that the spirit of the enemy is not real. The spirit of the enemy is alive and well. And there is a movement by the enemy in these last days to crowd your space. With the absence of spirituality, not even that, I'm going to take it way farther than that. Our space is being crowded by the most base forms of immorality. Crowding our space. With the motive intent of eventually getting us comfortable with a different level of personal space. And that's dangerous. The question that I've written on the board is, how hot is your fire? What are you allowing to feed your fire? What are you allowing in your life? What does your diet consist of? What does your spiritual fire look like? You know, A lot of times people are known by their interest. Right? I mean, when somebody's really interested in something, I mean, they're into it. It's not wrong. It's not bad. When people will say their name, you think, oh, you're talking about the fishermen. Maybe they love their animals. Oh, you're talking about the dog man down the street. Oh, you're talking about the guy that the garden man. Because you begin to associate them with what they love, what they spend their time on, where their heart is. What are you known by? What does God know you by? When He looks at your plate, our plate of life is only so big. When He looks at it, what's on it? Oh, you're a meat man. I noticed you left the vegetables on the counter. Well, I might get to them later. You go along to somebody else, you must like vegetables. You got a whole lot of vegetables on that. And the plate's only that big, you can't get everything on it. When the Lord looks at our life, what does He see? I can see you like this and this. I can see you spend a lot of time on this. I can see that you meditate a whole lot on this. I get that. What does He see? How strong is your spiritual fire? You know, some fires can be put out with just a... And it's out. And other fires you have to blow a little harder on. Some fires are really hot. I mean, if you get the right mixture of oxygen and fuel in enough quantities, even in a small amount, as long as the ratio is right, you can get a really hot fire. But you can also put it out pretty easy with the right things. But then there's fires that are made of tree logs. When they make roads where we live, when we moved to the south, I didn't see this so much in Oregon. We moved to the south, and this road that I go to work on, they decided it's going to make a road, and there's trees all along the road. So they do it right in the south. They cut all the trees down and have big old huge piles all alongside of the road and lit them off. I'm talking logs. You talk about a fire. That was a fire. A fire that had substance. Well, I saw all this. I mean, I'd passed this going to work, and then one day the rainstorm came through. It's like, yeah, well, that was a big, big pile out there for a rainstorm to come by. Now, what are we going to do about that now? Guess what? I drove by it, the fire was still going. Because it had substance. It had been invested in, if you will, with more than just some twigs and some leaves to create a flash and a flare that could be blown out easily. Did you know that God wants us tonight, folks, to have a fire in our heart for Him that isn't blown out very easily? He doesn't want it to be blown out at all. Because the fact of the matter is, there's going to be some rainstorms in life. There's going to be some hail storms. There's going to be some wind storms. There's going to be some storms that will rock your boat. Waves that you can't see over. And when it passes, I want to have a hold of something where I've still got a fire going on in my life. I don't want to be hurt. You know, sometimes people get hurt. Say, where's so-and-so? They used to come to church. Well, they got hurt. What got hurt? What happened? Well, somebody said something to them. Listen, folks, I don't want my fire blown out because somebody said something to me wrong. I got to have a fire stronger than that. We've seen people that have lived for the Lord, and then all of a sudden they're gone. So what happened to them? Where are they? Well, they're children. Their children went a different direction, and before long they followed their children. Folks, stay true to truth. Get a hold of something down deep so that no matter what happens in life, no matter the strength of the storm that comes along, you have something that keeps you going. You know, professional fighters, they know when they get in the ring, they're probably going to take some headshots. Headshots can put you down. And you know what will put them down quicker than anything? They could train all day long learning how to dodge and weave and build arm strength. But if they don't focus on their core and their legs and invest in that, then the first time a good blow comes along, they're going to have no strength in their body to hold them up and get them through. And I'm afraid sometimes we have too weak of Christians who aren't investing in their core.
Yes, Lord help.
Where we don't take seriously the importance of spending time with the Lord outside of meeting.
That's right.
Outside of service. It's not Sunday. It's not Wednesday. It's you.
Yes.
You got to spend time with the Lord.
Yes.
Read your Bible. Get to know what it says.
Yes.
Our strength is here.
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit deals and works with us and uses verses that we've read and helps them come alive in our hearts so that we can get a hold of it and say, "Oh Lord, that's just what I needed. Never seen it like that before. But Lord, you did something for me this morning. Thank you for that." But if I don't invest in it, we don't give the Lord a whole lot to work with, because He's not going to force it down us. If you're not interested in it, He's not going to just start live streaming it to your mind when you didn't put in for it. He said, He would be found of us when we seek for Him with all of our hearts. Where are we? Are we seeking the Lord with all of our hearts? When I was growing up, we burned wood for heat in the house. And you didn't touch the thermostat either. On the wall, you know, that triggered the oil flow, that was off limits. We burned wood. And we cut wood. And that's what we did. And we tended to the fire all day long. But you know, when night came, everybody wanted to sleep. So we'd pack wood in the wood stove, turn down the damper, turn down the draft, and hope that when morning came, there'd still be something in there that we could get a fire going again. But we didn't want to get up in the middle of the night. We'd rather restart the fire than do that. So we'd just do whatever we could and hope that we had enough fire in the morning. We can't do that with our spiritual life. You can't just go Sunday to Sunday. We can't just try to stock up with heavy doses of spiritual religious things on Sunday and hope that when the next Sunday comes we got something still on hand. Or much less when the Lord calls our name. We've got to invest. We've got to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, folks. That's what we need to do. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I want to notice that this speaks specifically to a dangerous environment, because iniquity is abounding all around us. Sin can start to not seem so exceedingly sinful, right? Haven't we all experienced that? I mean, it's just, it's reality. Adultery doesn't seem like it used to. I would just call it out. I mean, it is in God's eyes, but you know, with time and exposure, pretty soon you can get so used to it that it's, well, yeah, I mean, it's sin, but it's all around us. And I want to speak a little bit to a human action model, and I take every opportunity I can to speak on this because I feel like it is so important. Did you know that when Babies are born into the world. They're not born with high levels of understanding. They don't know a whole lot, except that they're hungry and maybe they don't feel happy. When babies come into the world, they come into the world and the first thing that happens is they become aware. And with time, awareness leads to understanding. Pretty soon you start to begin to understand what's around you and your environment. And then what follows understanding is we begin to make choices. And we begin to then commit to different things that we have come to have increased understanding around. And with our commitment then comes the framing of our values and our beliefs. You're not just born with your values and your beliefs. Your values and beliefs come from somewhere. You're not just born with them. And once your values and beliefs are in place, your values and beliefs are what prompt your thoughts. Your thoughts come from your values and beliefs, and your thoughts are followed by your actions, hopefully. Sometimes we act without thinking, but sometimes we think about things, and then we act, and there's consequences that are associated with your actions. Sometimes really bad consequences. You know, sometimes it's really easy for us when it comes to our values and beliefs. And when we start talking about things that start getting close, we say, that's just what I believe. You ever heard that before? Those are my beliefs. You have your beliefs. These are my beliefs. And almost like they're sacred and they're right and they shouldn't be up for challenge because after all, those are my beliefs and they're personal. And they are your beliefs. But your beliefs can be influenced and they are influenced by what you allow yourself to be exposed to. What is your diet? What are you listening to all day long? Who are you giving space in your mind to fill your mind on what's right and what's wrong? Who do you give the preeminent voice in your life? Is it the Word of God? Is it His Spirit? Or is it always the other voices in the world that you listen to and you expose yourself to them and you sit under them and you give yourself unto them and pretty soon you start understanding what they're saying and you understand what they're saying. Pretty soon you say, I think I believe that. And then you start giving yourself to it and it starts causing you to believe sometimes a lie. You say, well, preacher, you might be going too far. Listen, there was a reason why the Lord told the Israelites, you can look it up in the 20th chapter of Deuteronomy, He said, you go in there and destroy all of the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites, probably missing some of those, all the ites. And He said, you need to go in there and you need to destroy all of them. Because, He said, you need to destroy all of them. Unless, because if you don't, you may go in there and learn and be taught their ways. You let yourself be exposed to something that's not righteous and not true. Let your little ones start off being exposed to unrighteousness and let them grow up and watch the Jebusites and the Canaanites and the Amorites and all of them serve their gods. And they're going to grow up and their values and beliefs are going to be framed by what you have exposed them to. And so the Lord said, you need to go in there and you need to get rid of them lest you go in there and start following their ways and sin against God. We have something to say about what we're exposed to.
Yes.
Don't diminish it. Don't hide behind, well, that's just how I think. People hide behind that. As a a sense of security. They hide behind that as if, hey, that's just how I believe. Open up your heart and ask God to come in and reveal to you holiness and righteousness. The scripture said, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. And unless we expose ourselves to ways that are higher than ours, we're going to limit our exposure to man's way of thinking. And we know where that ends. Not good. Exposure, folks, exposure breeds familiarity. Right? Even if you don't agree with it, it still breeds familiarity. You're exposed, you become familiar. Familiarity eventually breeds tolerance. After a while, it breeds tolerance. You know what follows that? With time, acceptance. You may still say, well, I don't agree with it, but you kind of accept it. And sometimes acceptance breeds participation. You say, well, I'm not going to do that. What about your children? If your children see you being exposed to things in the world that aren't right, absence of spirituality, maybe it's just a diet of things void of spiritual food and meat. And your children grow up and they're looking at you as the one that knows all, because children do. And they see you becoming familiar with and tolerating and accepting. And you say, but I didn't participate, but your children might. Because you allowed too much exposure in your life. We have something to say about what we're exposed to. You go on in Deuteronomy in the 11th chapter, and the Lord said, I've set before you a blessing and a curse. I've set before you two ways. You can choose which way you want to go. God's not going to force you. You can choose which way, what things you want to be exposed to. You can choose which things you want to commit yourself to. You can decide how you want to let your values and beliefs be framed. And the Lord God is a faithful God. He does come in and He convicts our hearts when we start going down the wrong path. And our values and beliefs start going astray. God is so good and so faithful to come along and say, oh, listen, that's not right. Go, this is the right way. Follow this way. But we have a choice. The Lord sets it before us. Blessing and a curse. We can choose to go our way if we want. But if it's not the way of the Lord, there's going to be problems down the road. There's going to be a curse down the road. May God help us to keep ourselves in a place where the light is.
Yes, amen.
Position yourself where the light is. Keep yourself exposed and participate in a diet of things that you could say holiness unto the Lord. When we were growing up, my dad used to tell us a lot of times before we'd go to school. We got a little tired of it, but I appreciate it now. He'd say, wear your signs. Wear your signs, children. Well, he told us earlier that the signs were, I'm a Christian. In other words, live at school as if you were wearing a sign that said, I'm a Christian. Live so that whatever you do, other people could look at whatever you're doing and say, yeah, that's consistent with being a Christian. Expose yourself and partake of those things that the Lord can work in your life. So that you can have a fire that's strong and alive and will get you through the times when the rainstorms come. Because they're going to come.
Yes.
I don't want to say this too. There is so much to occupy our time in this world.
Yes,
that sometimes it's not that single besetting sin that trips us up. Sometimes it is
not attending our fire, spiritual fire, in preference for non-sinful activities. You know, it's really easy for us to say, that's not sin. I mean, I've done that. There's something that you're doing. You say, well, that's not sin. Okay. Maybe it's not. But if we're living our lives where we're constantly saying, well, that's not sin. Well, that's not sin. Well, that's not necessarily sin. And we're just plugging our plate full of all kinds of non-sinful activities that aren't giving God His rightful place. Pretty soon, we're going to have a plate full of non-sinful things, but God's not going to be on the plate. And that does turn to sin because it turns into neglect. The Lord brought it to me this way. Non-sinful activities often pave the road that leads to a state of neglect. I'll say that again. Non-sinful activities, folks, if we're not very careful, can often pave the road that leads to a state of spiritual neglect. May God help us pay attention to our fire.
Yes.
I want to get this 13th verse before we close. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What does it mean to endure? I wrote some things down. It means to resist, push forward, overcome obstacles. It means to last. It means to last, to remain in existence, to suffer patiently, do whatever it takes to be saved. And you know, Jesus had pretty stark instruction on this. He said, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. Well, right hand's pretty important. And it hurts to lose your right hand. But He said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Because it's better to go through life maimed than to have your whole body cast into hell. And it's really hard, folks, to cut our right hand off. But if there's things in our life, even if in of themselves are maybe not just categorized as sin, but they're getting in the way of our spiritual fire from being hot and substantive and strong, and God looks down upon us and says, that's my servant down there. He's given His life to me. He's investing in me. If it's getting in the way of that, it might be time to cut it off. Sometimes it's hobbies. Sometimes it's behaviors. The list could go on and on and on of all of the things that can be categorized in this. Yes, sometimes it's painful. But I would rather suffer some of that pain in this life than to meet God at the judgment with a fire that He looks at and looks at me, looks at the fire or what there is of it, and sees neglect on the fire. There's coming a day when the Lord is going to separate those that have strong fires with those that have let their fires go out. There's going to come a day when the Lord separates those with fervent love from those whose love has grown lukewarm. And then the judgment. The Scripture says in Revelations, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. That thou mayest be clothed with white raiment, that the shame of thy nakedness should not appear. And that thou would anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you might see. And He told us those that He loved, that he rebuked and chastened, thank the Lord. He said, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man would hear my voice and open unto me, I would come into him and sup with him, and he with me. And to him that overcometh would I grant to sit down at the throne, as I have overcome and sat down at the throne of my Father. He that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to be challenged tonight that each one of us that are here would examine the strength of your fire.
Yes, Lord, help us.
It's really easy, y'all, to say, I'm good. I'm good. Nothing's wrong. I got it. Everything's fine. And knowest not that you're lukewarm. God wants to do something for you.
Yes, He does.
If you're here tonight and you feel like that there's a place in your life that maybe isn't right where it should be. Maybe there's a place of neglect in your life where you haven't paid as much attention as you should to your spiritual fire, and you've let perhaps non-sinful things crowd out the Lord. You know, tonight the Lord invites all of us. There's a song that speaks to the sinner. It says, oh sinner, where art thou? Why? Because God cares about the sinner. Backslider, where are you? How's your fire? Don't you wish you had something on hand like you used to have? Neglecter? Maybe you love the Lord and you want to serve Him, but you've neglected your fire. God wants to do something for you. And Christian,
yes, He does.
Oh Christian, where are you? Did you know that as Christians we have needs in our lives? Sometimes we feel like that we're almost afraid to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem. I messed up. I've erred. I failed you, Lord. Because we're afraid if we say out in the open that somehow that won't make us a Christian anymore. We need help as Christians. There's places in our life God wants to do something for us. And I just want to encourage you tonight, wherever you may be, if you feel like that you'd like to experience the touch of the Master, Jesus paid the price. And He has exactly what we need to give us strength in our spiritual fire.
Yes.
That gives us the power that we need. That when He calls our names, He can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Tonight, may the Lord help us all to tend to our spiritual fires with a sense of urgency. May God be with each one of you.